driven.
Indeed.
He is risen indeed. Amen. Amen. What a blessed
morning. What a gorgeous day out, too. What a marvelous day. If you're here today as a visitor, we welcome you. We're glad that you could be with us. Hopefully, there's some on Zoom as well. We're glad to have you here as well. We're going to talk about the resurrection today, an incredible hope given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to run rather quickly. Most of you know that I usually give out candies, but because of the day, because of a long message, because my wife encouraged me that you will end on time, because we have a ham in the oven, I understand. So you will end in time. So don't worry, I will run through this. If you get tired, consider this, I'm older than you are. All right, incredible hope. If we have hoped in Christ in this world alone, we are of all people most to be pitied. I want to tell you, I grew up going to church, kind of. My dad went to church twice a year, Easter and Christmas. It wasn't that he wasn't too thrilled with the pastor we had there. But nevertheless, I grew up understanding this. That you take your kids to church so that they learn how to treat other people right. It's a social thing. You go to church to learn how to treat people. You know, it's the golden rule. Treat other people as you would want them to treat you. Most of Americans who claim to be Christian understand that is all church is about, is learning how to be good to other people. Consider this, if we didn't, we'd have a disaster. Nevertheless, if that's all church is to you, being good to your neighbor, look at the floor in this auditorium. Look at the floor. If this floor was all the doctrine of Christianity, all the doctrine of God, how much of this floor would be how you treat other people? I suspect it'd be smaller than one of these squares you see here. You know, most all of the doctrine of God, what God wants to reach to you, he's speaking to you, what God wants to speak to you is you have a problem. You have a problem before God. And one day, you're going to have to deal with that problem. Either today or in the future. That's the message of God. God wants to speak to you. I am so glad God finally got through my thick skull and got to me. Skip, you have an issue. You have a problem. You are not right with me. And if you don't get right, disaster is coming. If all Christianity is to us is this world, we are the most to be pitied. It is not all about how you treat other people. How you treat other people should be an outflow of the gospel. Because God has been so, so gracious to you, how are you going to treat others? If you are a child of the Most High God, how are you going to treat others? But that's small. The first step is to become a child of God. That's the most important thing. If you get anything out of coming to church today, get this. Either you're right with God or you're not. And if you don't get right to God, then he's going to have to deal with you. He's going to have to deal with you. All right, most of what I've got is on the slide, so I'm going to put that aside for now because I'm playing yo-yo with it. So let's look. If you're in the back, you can't see this, sorry, but you can ask me for a copy. It's a little small. I want to run through this real quick because I don't want to bog things down with technicalities, but this is the last week called the Passion Week of Christ. I want you to consider, okay, and this is the actual week of Christ. Sunday, people are arriving. It's given to the Jews that on the Passover, you'll be in Jerusalem. On the Passover, Jews are coming from all over the country, coming to Jerusalem for the Passover. Now, in the book of John particularly, in the New Testament times, the Passover was seen as a week-long fest. Okay, but the Passover is a day, and then after that comes the week of unleavened bread. Okay, but they're coming the days before, and on Monday, they select the lamb. Now, they probably have selected that lamb before they left their land to bring just one lamb rather than their entire flock. Or what Jesus shows us in the New Testament is many of them come without a lamb, and then they go into the temple to buy a pre-approved lamb. How about that? A pre-approved lamb. And believe me, the priests get something in that. Nevertheless, the lamb is selected on the Monday. Now, up at the top, you can't see it quite well, but at the very top, you have the days as the Jews would understand it. Because remember, the Jews see the day beginning at dusk. I'm sorry, so it would be down here. Yeah, I'm sorry. The dark shades is supposed to be evening time. So the second line down is the Jews. They see the 10th beginning that dusk. You and I, we understand, oh, that's still the 9th, and then it'll be the 10th when midnight turns around. But the Jews see it then. So the Jews select the lamb just after dusk. Just after dusk. And now they're going to keep the lamb from the 10th to the 14th. And they're going to be watching the lamb to make sure this lamb is spotless. Make sure this lamb has no blemish at all. So they're going to keep it. They're going to keep it inside. They don't want any damage to this lamb. So they're going to keep it inside. So the lamb is selected and the lamb is examined. Now, I can't swear by this, but I would not be surprised at all if this was not the entrance into Jerusalem. You know, where it's the children are crying out, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But nevertheless, not important. The important thing is on that 14th, all these things happen. And you can't read them up there, back there. All these things happen. Let me read them to you. On the 14th, at twilight. Now, twilight is your English version of between the evenings is what it means. And so that people understand it to mean at the twilight, but it means it between the evenings. But these things happen. The Passover is observed. That means that the lamb is taken and slaughtered. The Father does this. By the way, understand, the Passover is a personal thing. Every house would do this thing. Every Jewish house would do this. They'd take the lamb and they'd cut its throat and bleed it out. Bleed it out. The blood would be put on the lintel on that first Passover. The blood would be put on the lintel. What does that mean? There's only one lamb. The Jews always see it as the Paschal, the one lamb. There are many different households, but there's only one lamb. Can you see the picture? Do you understand the picture? There is only one lamb. But each of us has to deal with it. Each of us has to put it on a lintel. My neighbor puts it on a lintel, doesn't protect me. You have to apply the blood to your life. You have to apply the blood to your life. Otherwise, death and destruction comes to you. So the Passover is observed. They have it roasted with fire. They have bitter herbs. There's a chair at the side for Elijah because it is understood Elijah will come. So they have a chair waiting for Elijah when he comes. They have the cup of wine to start it. Luke is the only one of your Gospels, by the way, that records the two cups. There's a cup of wine that begins the Passover. You have a deceiver depart. That's Judas. The deceiver departs. And then you have the hidden loaf that's brought out. We had the Jews for Jesus over once, and they portrayed the Passover here. And there's a loaf that is striped. It's unleavened, of course. It's striped and hidden away under a cloth. And that loaf is brought forward at the end. That's the loaf Jesus brought forward and said, this is my body. Do you see the stripes? This is my body, which is given for you. Do you see the stripes? There's a cup of wine to finish. This is my blood of the new covenant given for you. There's a cup given. There's a psalm sung. Jews would sing the psalms. I wouldn't try it. There's a walk. There's a prayer. That's the prayer in Gethsemane. There's an arrest. There's an inquisition in the house of Annas. He used to be the high priest. Then there's a trial in the house of Caiaphas. That's the high priest now. There's a handing over to the Gentiles. There's a scourging. There's a presentation. Behold the man. Behold your king. We will have no other king but Caesar. There's a cross carried. There's a body broken as the nails are driven into his hands and his feet. There's a spear pierced. There's a corpse buried. All on that Friday. We call it Good Friday. There's never been a better Friday. There has never been a better Friday. That's the day that God himself, incarnate man, God become man, forget everyone else in the world. He died for you. He died for me. Have you ever had love? Have you ever loved someone and they never reciprocated? Love poured out. And if you haven't received, never reciprocated. It's not good enough that my dad believes. It's not good enough that my brother believes. It's a personal thing. You have to apply the blood on your doorpost yourself. Then the next week, we begin the first fruits. Oh, back up a little bit. So he dies on a Friday. Saturday begins the first day of unleavened bread. First day of unleavened bread is a holy day. It's also the Sabbath. It's a holy day. It's a high day on that Sabbath day. And then something that's difficult to see, if you look in the book of Leviticus, when you enter the land and reap its harvest, then you shall bring forth the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord for you to be accepted on the day after the Sabbath that the priest shall wave it. That would be a Sunday. So the day of first fruits was not dictated by God, the direct day. Instead, he said, when you enter the land, and the first day that you reap of the fruit, you shall bring a sheaf into, that would be on the Sabbath day, you would bring the sheaf in and you would wave it before the Lord. And the first day would be the day after the Sabbath. So the day of first fruits is the first day after the Sabbath, after you've entered the land. And if you read in Joshua, you read that they crossed the River Jordan. They had the circumcision because they hadn't circumcised. And then they celebrated the Passover. And then they ate of the fruit. And they had the first wave offering before it. So the wave offering happened the day after. That is the Sunday after the Sabbath, after the Passover. And on the day, week that Jesus was there, the Passover, the Sabbath after the Passover, and then Sunday is the day of first fruits. And Sunday morning is the day Jesus rose. Jesus, the first fruits. Let me ask you, do you believe there's a God? You know, you make things, this is funny, we're in a Christian church, right? So many Christians don't believe there's a God. Again, if Christianity is all about being good to other people and learning how to be good to other people, what does it matter whether there's a God? The heavens are telling. I wish I could, someday I will do, on a Saturday probably, a Sabbath, on a Saturday, teach you about physics. The heaven, this is the words of a shepherd boy. The heavens are declaring the glory of God. Their expanse is declaring the works of his hand. That little shepherd boy knows more about physics than Stephen Hawking. If you don't know who that is, don't worry about it. Do you think it is impossible for God? Do you think it's impossible for God to raise the dead? To bring the dead back to life? By the word of God, the heavens existed. There was nothing. No mass. Hey, I'm a physicist. I understand. You know, mass doesn't just bang and it's there. But by the word of God, God said, be. And it exists. He formed long ago, the earth was formed out of water and by water. Imagine, if you will, imagine that you saw something you know was physically impossible, cannot be, such as raising from the dead. I remember going into the room where my dad lay. I remember. And I went up to him, and I was hesitant, but I kissed his forehead. Cold as ice. I remember thinking, cold, thick, meat when it collapses. There was no life in that body. We understand what dead bodies are like. The Jews had no problem. All nations know what dead bodies are like. Can you imagine? How would you explain to someone? How would you explain to someone seeing something that was physically impossible? And they're sitting there going, no, that can't be. That can't be. You know, these women come into the room, say, we saw the Lord. He's alive. He's risen. No, no, no. No. Dead people don't come back to life. You know? How would you say it? How would you explain it? The men from the road of Damascus come in and say, no, we've seen them too. This is crazy. This is loony. There is only one who has the power of life. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life to whom he wishes, even so the Son gives life to whom he wishes. Bless you. Two significant events. As I was seeking, if you're here today, if you're on Zoom, if you're seeking to understand, if you're really searching, two things that really spoke to me about the person of Jesus. Remember, Susan told me, don't look at the church. You'll find all kinds of hypocrisy. Look at Jesus. So I started looking, reading through the books. Luke chapter 5, the raising of the paralytic. Luke chapter 5, they lower him down through the roof, set him down before him. And what does Jesus say? Get up and walk. No, Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. And everybody in the room goes bonkers. All the Jews, all the Pharisees, they all know. No one can forgive God, sins but God. Who are you to claim this guy's sins are forgiven? And I'm sitting there going, yeah, only God can forgive sins. But then Jesus says, in order that you may understand that the Son of Man has the power, the authority to forgive sins. Now he turns to him and says, rise up, take up your pallet and walk. And I'm there going, how is it this guy gets up and walks? How is it? Because Satan doesn't heal people. Satan hurts people. He doesn't heal people. How is it that this guy says this and God answers and says, yeah, rise up and walk? If he's not who he is, if he doesn't have the authority to forgive sins, how is that guy getting up? I'm in my bed, I'm going, this is strange. Then there's Jesus' own resurrection. He says, yeah, I'm going to Jerusalem, they're going to crucify me, and 3 days later I'm going to rise from the dead. Now, if he's a charlatan, only God can raise the dead. If he's a charlatan, How is it he rises from the dead? If you're here today and you don't understand these things, think about them. If you haven't received Christ, think about it. Because you need to understand this guy has the authority to forgive sins. Whatever your life is like, this guy has the authority to forgive sins. Maybe I ought to come to know him a little bit. He rose from the dead. And that was one I couldn't get around. I couldn't get around that. What is the significance of the resurrection of Jesus? What's the significance? There's no intercessor. Elijah raised the dead. There was an intercessor, Elijah. Elisha raised the dead. Jesus raised the dead three times. Peter raised the dead. Paul raised a dead person. But in the resurrection of Jesus, no one was there to say, rise up and walk. Here's what's important about the resurrection of Jesus. It's not just that he rose. You know, he raised Lazarus from the dead, and Lazarus died again. Just a short duration of longer life. Same thing with the widow of Nain. Same thing with Jairus' daughter. Those were the three I mentioned. Okay. Peter raised Dorcas, I think her name was. Raised her up, but she eventually dies. The ascension. But Jesus not just rose from the dead, but while they were standing about, Jesus starts rising. He's not snatched away like Elijah. He's rising up, and he ascends, and he's received into heaven. Have you ever seen people received into heaven before? Maybe you haven't seen with your eyes, but Enoch. And Enoch, it was said, he received the testimony that his life was right with God by that he was raised, he was taken up into heaven without seeing death. He never saw death. Elijah was the other one. I personally believe these are the two prophets that come in the book of Revelation to finally have the opportunity to die for the glory of God. So the ascension, the declaration in the book of Romans chapter 1, verse 4, a beautiful verse, he was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. God declaring to you, this is my Son. Not this one over here, not this one over here, dead in the tomb, dead in the tomb. This one, my beloved Son, as he comes forward. The propitiation, there's a $20 word, if ever. I had to look that one up. Don't be embarrassed if you don't understand it. It's what you do to get somebody back on your side, basically to get right with somebody. It's not just the payment for sin. You've irritated someone. You've gotten somebody upset at you. The propitiation for your sin, Jesus. He brings the blood of his sacrifice into the Holy of Holies for you. Not for him, for you. He says, is this blood, my blood, I poured out on Calvary, is it acceptable that this person might be saved? And God declares, he's by the resurrection, God declares. Think about I'm talking about the Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. The priest goes into the Holy of Holies, and he's got tinkles on his dress. He's got a rope tied to his leg. And if you hear the tinkling stop, 30 minutes and you haven't heard some tinkling, maybe a little tug on the rope there. Hey, guy, move around a little bit so we know you're still alive. No answer. You pull the dead corpse out. And then you know your sins have not been dealt with. But when that priest emerges, spreads the curtains, and he emerges out, now you know your sins have been dealt with. Not for another year now. Next year you got to do it all over again, right? But when Jesus came forth from the tomb, as it were, When Jesus died on the cross, we read earlier today, the curtain was torn. And he's the only one. When the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies, he sprinkles the mercy seat with blood. When this one enters the Holy of Holies, he sits down on the mercy seat. And the curtain is torn, never to be replaced again. And he says, come. Come in with me. The propitiation, the justification. Your sins are dealt with. Your sins are dealt with. However, if you have not appropriated that, you haven't come to him and received, but to as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the children of God. If you've not received him, paid for, but you can't appropriate it if you haven't received. And sanctification, Jesus said to his disciples, or said before his own Father, he said, I sanctify myself on their behalf. I sanctify myself. All who enter into it, sanctified means set apart, by the way. We have Christmas china. You don't touch mom's Christmas china. We bring that out on Christmas. Sanctified means set apart for God. If you're a Christian here today, you've been set apart for God. You are God's. If you're not, you know whose you are. Victory. Since then the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might deliver those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're a slave. He's come to free you. But you're standing there, sitting there going, no, I don't want to be freed. I want to sit in my sin. Promise. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And if I go, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. I hold that promise dear. I can't understand, I can't comprehend the idea of standing in the presence of the Holy of Holies. But I look for it with a great promise. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish. Promise. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live, even if he dies. And everyone who believes in me and lives shall never die. I remember hearing in work, they say, there's nothing sure but death and taxes. And I said, excuse me, I may not ever die. Jesus comes back today. Jesus comes back today. You and I received in glory. Never die. Do you believe this? He said to Martha. Do you believe this, Martha? Do you hold this as a blessed promise? I added this one. I want to make sure I get through this thing here. Two resurrections. I get to this because Karen shared with me of people who didn't understand the two resurrections. So let's take a look at the two resurrections. In John chapter 5, verses 28 through 29, Jesus is speaking. Turn there, if you will. Just realized I've been talking all this time and haven't had you turn in your Bible. So John chapter 5, I love this, and I want you to see it. There's a Bible in front of you, because we're going to read around this one a little bit. There's a Bible in front of you. John chapter 5. Starting at verse 24, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. That's a memory verse, by the way, gospel outline. Verse 25, truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear shall live. Do you see that? And now is. Underline that. Underline that. Look again at verse 28 then. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs shall hear his voice. Notice there is no and now is there. 25, an hour is coming and now is, when the dead. Verse 28, an hour is coming, those in the tomb. Okay. Understand, when Jesus is standing before them and talking to them, an hour is coming and now is, the thought there is that a train is arriving at the track. It's here now. It's here now. Versus the train is on its way. But right now, it's the train has arrived. The dead. Who are the dead? Those who are listening to him. See, in the book of John, there's life and there's death. And anything that is not God is death. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, what John is saying is you're dead. You may walk around, talk, eat, and all, you're dead because you have no life in you. An hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of God and come forth. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, is this the hour you hear the voice of the Son of God and come forth? Or are you waiting for the second one? An hour is coming. Here is verse 28 now. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming. Not here yet, but an hour is coming when all who are in the tomb shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Those who did the good, I have deeds kind of ghosted because it's not really in the text. Those who did the good to a resurrection of life, and those who committed evil to the resurrection of judgment. What is the good deeds? What is the good works? Jesus said what the good works are. These are the works of God that you believe him whom he sent. That's the only good. That's the only good. God has given an offering for you and you reject it. There's another resurrection, the resurrection of judgment. So either you're going to be in the resurrection of life or you're going to be in the resurrection of judgment. Two resurrections. Let's look again. Let's look at the first resurrection. But now Christ has been raised from the dead. 1 Corinthians. We're going through 1 Corinthians 15 on Wednesday. Come out. Come out and hear. It's three messages. We just did one. But now Christ has been raised from the dead. The first fruits. Remember that? First fruits of them that sleep. But each in his own order. Christ the first fruit. And after that, those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end. So the first fruit was always a promise of another harvest. The first fruit was always a promise of the second harvest. Christ is the first fruits. There's a second harvest. This is the resurrection of life. Those who are his at his coming. Look again. Resurrection. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ. This, by the way, is Paul. So, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. In Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain. Remember what Jesus said? I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. And he who believes and remains shall never die. And those of us who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. The first resurrection. The first resurrection. And I saw thrones, and upon them, and they sat upon them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of the testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or his image. This is the first resurrection. Now understand, this is just after the tribulation period. Just after the tribulation period. During the tribulation period, people who turned to God, turned to Jesus Christ, during the tribulation, the church is up in glory. Come and we'll study 1 Thessalonians. The church is up in glory. But during the tribulation period, people come to know Christ. People put their faith in Jesus, and they're killed. They're beheaded. But they are also raised up. They are also. This is the first resurrection. Now we get to the second resurrection. Very important, especially if you don't know, you have not trusted in Jesus. Here, please. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. And the dead were judged. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second resurrection. It's a resurrection unto judgment. It's a resurrection unto eternal death. Lake of fire. This is the lake of fire where the Satan is cast into the lake of fire. This is where the beast is cast into the lake of fire. All the denizens of Satan are cast there. God does not want you there. God loves you. He does not want you there. But if that's where you want to be, he's willing to put you there. The second resurrection is a resurrection unto judgment. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. I ran pretty fast, but I'm not going to try to delay it. But please, if you want to understand more, if you desire to understand more, come talk with me. I might be a little bit scary. Josh is a lot less scary than I am. Whitney. But come and talk with somebody, because we don't want you. We don't want your money. We don't want you in the lake of fire. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you indeed for the positive assurance that Jesus has paid it all, that it is finished, Lord. I thank you for the joy of Resurrection Day, the joy of seeing in our mind Jesus Christ, the gates of hell blown apart, and Jesus walking through. Lord, if there be any here among us that aren't yours, I pray that your words would reach to them. I pray that they would desire the light and life of Jesus, that they would desire not to spend eternity in the lake of fire. We praise you and we thank you for truth. We thank you for loving us and knowing this love in the person of Jesus Christ. We thank you in his own precious and worthy name.